Well, happy high Sabbath day to all of you. It's really good seeing all of you again, and our pastor, Mr. Evans, too, as well. It's unique. I was telling him that he probably took half of my sermon because we both think alike. And then I don't have to worry about it because all of you think alike, too. That's why you're here. And that's why we're all here, because we're here to learn more on what we're going to be doing in the future. Because all of the things that we have now to go over and to think about have to do with our future. I know we're in the time of the year that pictures the fall harvest. And I think to this day, looking back on it for the last 60 years, not too many people understood the fall harvest, the completion of the fall harvest, and the church today and its involvement with the fall harvest. How many understand that part of the plan of God? I think we need to understand, and I'm going to go through a few scriptures about that, because we are living now in the time of the new covenant still, the New Testament, the New Covenant, and Jesus started that approximately, and I'll use dates because we always like dates, don't we? We know exactly when it's going to happen and what date it's going to be. Isn't that true? Well, anyway, we need to understand that we're actually alive within time. Time marches on, and we have learned to count it the way we did because of what God did. God actually set up everything have that as far as the stars, the moons, the sun, and all of those things relative to days and hours and years. But anyway, the new covenant that Jesus started approximately 1983 years ago, somewhere in that vicinity. The last 2,000 years has been going on. And we just keep observing the feast of the holy days, all of the holy days. Why do we? And why do we, as we get to this particular day, the Day of Atonement, and as we used to actually mention that the word meant at-one-ment, atonement, at-one-ment, which is actually is what happens whenever we are atoned. And so we need to take a look at that and see how we fit into that. I'm going to excuse that a little bit because it's coming back on me, the microphone wise. So why do we observe to keep the Feast of Atonement today? Because there are a lot of people within the church through the years who've actually stated that, why are we keeping all of these feast days? Why are we keeping the days that was Old Testament given days? Well, let's go back first of all to the Old Testament. And let's understand something, because it'll give you clues. Remember again that the Bible was written here little and there little, and in some cases worded such a way so that some people couldn't understand. And that was the purpose of it. And even Jesus himself mentioned whenever he was talking that he talked in parables at times so that people would not understand. So the Bible is, in reality, something that has what you would call akin to the parables. Unless you have God's Holy Spirit, then you can see it and you can recognize what the Scriptures are saying. So when we go through the Scriptures using the power of God, using the Holy Spirit, we see the Scriptures different than most people in the world today see the Scriptures. Oh, they can repeat the Scriptures. In fact, I've been hearing lately some of the senators and the congressmen and some of those who are at high-level security posts, they begin to bring a little of the Bible in. Well, what's happening over in the Middle East today is what the Bible said would happen. But do they really understand what's coming? Do they really understand what ISIS is going to do and striving to do? Do they even know where ISIS came from? I haven't seen on the news any description or any getting into history to see whether or not ISIS came from Egypt. And before it came to Egypt, where was it? And why is it ISIS? And why is it kin to Ishmael and Esau and going down to Amalek and the ones who actually attacked Israel when they came out of Egypt, which was to stop them from going into the Holy Land? We're in a time now that we see satanic efforts by these other peoples who believe in their God, which is Satan, really, when it comes right down to it, are making an effort to stop all of the firstborns to make it into the family of God, too. They would love to disorient you and me and to get us from keeping the days that God said that we are to keep. But it takes the Holy Spirit to see that and to understand it. Otherwise, we're going to be led astray because we lost a lot of people through the years that refused to believe anymore in the holy days. Some of them would actually stick with the Passover and the days unleavened bread because that had to do with Jesus and what Jesus said to come out of sin. But they didn't quite understand even the Feast of Pentecost. And the reason they didn't understand the Feast of Pentecost, and God wrote it this way in the Scriptures, so that that could happen for those who don't understand. Because if you did understand, you might be a little jealous as far as Pentecost, because you would recognize and realize that those who are represented by the Feast of Pentecost are going to be those who are first born into the family of God. And so therefore, you start looking at the wording of how the Bible says concerning the feast days, and you'll see that that can happen and did happen. In the earlier years, that did happen. So we have to see what the Scripture says. Let's go to, first of all, let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And I'd like to show you something here in the wording, so that as Christians, you can look at the wording and maybe make a little different decision that you might make otherwise. Beginning in verse 5, well, let's back up again, because verse 3 says, "And then shall Aaron come to the holy place." Okay, now we have to ask ourselves the question, who in the world is Aaron? Aaron was a high priest. He was a priest that God set in office to handle what is going to be happening. And that's very important for us to see today, regarding this day even, to understand that Aaron was the high priest at that time. "Came to the holy place for the young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat." And we used to talk about that in earlier years, that we need to come to church with the best clothes that we have, because we're coming to present ourselves before God. We used to teach that years and years ago, that we need to dress and to come before God, because when you come to a holy day, a high day of God, you're coming in the presence of God and Jesus Christ at His right hand, as the Scripture says. So therefore, we need to make sure that we have honor toward those who deserve honor and who require honor. We have to honor. "He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering." 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. "And Aaron," who's the priest, "shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself." So this day pictures atoning. Who does it picture atoning for? That's the question we need to ask as we go through this sermon. Who is this atoning for today in our time? Because this is under the new covenant versus the old covenant. And Moses, of course, was the one first chosen by God to lead and guide that, and the giving of all of his laws, commandments, statutes, judgments, and so on. But you can go back, as Mr. Evans even pointed out in one of the sermons he gave, that you go back and see Abraham. It says in the scripture there in Genesis that Abraham kept God's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Now, if you were going back, I think you'll find that Noah did too. And then you could go on back to those who came before Noah. And we know that God has been very solid and very straightforward in his plan of what he was doing. Because when he created Adam, who did he create him for? To become like God. He created him to become like God. So it started with Adam and Eve. And on down, and he had to destroy the earth because the earth had been totally corrupted from his way of life. And I think you'll find when you read chapters 21, 22 of Revelation, you'll find it talks again about a new earth. Why? Why are you going to have a new earth as time goes on? You think about that. Make an atonement for himself and for his house, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle. So he's presenting them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, because there's two usages to be done at that point. Two kids of the goats for a sin offering, for atoning as time goes on. So Aaron shall take the goat of which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But a goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, as the old King James says, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him. So the second goat is used to make an atonement also. So that's what it's really all about, and that's why today we keep the Day of Atonement. And let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and goes on to talk about what has to be done there too as well to keep things right in his own house. That is to make an atonement for himself, for his house, shall he kill a bullock for a sin offering, which is for himself, and so on. So we find there that atoning has to do with something that the high priest is involved with. Now we come to the New Testament. What are we going to see? What are we going to see in the New Testament? Because some say, well, you know, in the Old Testament they kept the Day of Atonement, but in the New Testament we don't have to keep the Day of Atonement. And you know what that's tantamount to? It's tantamount to saying that you don't have to obey God's law that says you're to observe and to keep my Sabbaths. It's part of the commandments. And the Sabbath day itself is one of the Ten Commandments. And we see also, too, that all of those things that God gave, which Abraham obeyed, the laws and commandments and statutes and judgments, they don't change unless God changes them. He hasn't changed them, has he? They still are in vogue today, and all of us have to work hard in that direction to serve God and to recognize what we should be doing in preparing for the future. Because that's what my sermon really is all about, is preparing for the future and why we keep this Day of Atonement and bring it to mind, because it means something that we're going to be accomplishing and doing in the future. And you say, well, how are we going to do all of that? Let's go quickly back to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter. And we get a clue. We get a clue of what God is saying that we're going to be involved with for the future. Revelation, the first chapter. And beginning in verse 1, it says, Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave to him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he then signified it by his angels unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and who keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then it goes through and talks about the churches, the seven churches. Why seven? And what do we have in the book of Revelation? The seven trumpets that are to blow at the time of the end to accomplish and to finish what God is wanting to do. And why do you have it referred to on the Feast of Trumpets, which we've already talked about and had service with? And you'll find that it has to do with the attitude and the frame of mind that we all have. We have to understand that God is doing something with us, and we have to see that. Verse 6 of this same chapter says, "And has made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Now that's a key right there. You've got to understand, and especially I want to hone in a little bit, on has made us priests. Isn't that what he made Aaron? He made Aaron a high priest. Now, Jesus Christ is our high priest today, Melchizedek, the high priest, as it says in the book of Hebrews. But we are kings and priests, who to? Unto God and his Father. So now then, we can understand that when it comes to the Day of Atonement, that we need to be so interested in and make sure that we have in mind what God wants and desires, is that we have to make sure that we're accomplishing what the Scripture instructs us to accomplish, and to realize that we are going to be involved with all of our brothers and all of our sisters who actually by that time will not be male or female, because when they are atoned, that is, by who? By the priests. The atonement. Whenever their sins are all forgiven and they go through the atonement of it, then you will find that we will be the ones to do that and to accomplish that with Jesus Christ as we usher them into the new world, into the millennium, and the honoring of God all the way through the millennium. And they will have been, if you please, the way we do it today and say it today, we're baptized. In other words, we're baptized and we have God's Holy Spirit, and we continue on serving God. And what's going to be beautiful about that time, if I can get this fixed, I don't know why it's doing that. When this is fixed, then of course we're going to find that they all are going to be honoring and serving God through Jesus Christ and through all of the saints. The saints are going to be involved. So you're going to say there's, well, what does that mean? It means there are two sections we have to keep in mind. Two things that we need to keep in mind. And I believe that it started with the Day of Atonement at that time with two goats. With the two goats, we need to understand the two things that are happening. And we've always taught that through the years, that the first thing that was done was the spring harvest. The spring harvest of the first call, the first fruits, the firstborn sons of God, and then the ones who are going to be later on will be in the fall harvest. And I'm not saying the two goats mean it, I'm just saying that gives you the parallel of showing there are two things that are happening. And we have to keep that in mind, and that's why we keep the day, the feast today, to see what our part is going to be. Because the trumpet is the time that we take over the whole world. And then atonement is that everyone is atoned to go into the millennium and their sins are forgiven and they can live in a happily wonderful world as a result of that. And I think you will find that the priests that will be there will be all of us, as well as all those that God calls between now and the time of the resurrection. And that's only in the Father's hand. He's the one who's going to do that. We have to understand that the Father is the one who's doing everything even for us all now. We're the ones that are listening to Him and carrying on. Now, the two things, of course, that they were involved with even at that time, let's go back, first of all, Exodus. Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Exodus, the 23rd chapter. And the reason I'm reading Exodus, the 23rd chapter, is because it hones in on who we are. It actually hones in on who we are. Chapter 23, and beginning in verse 14. Three times shall you keep a feast unto me in the year, and you shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall keep eat unleavened bread for 7 days as I commanded you, and in the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvesting the first fruits. See, this tells us right here about the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. So three times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. Now, at this point, it doesn't separate and give us the seven high days, high holy days. It just says three periods of time coming down to toward the end. And only in this particular case is it referring to harvesting, in the sense that you have two sets of people that are being in the harvest, and that is the first fruits and the ingathering at the time of the at the end of the year. The first part has to do with, of course, repenting of sins and becoming part of the family of God. Then, again, in Leviticus 23, it tells us the same thing. But I want to mention in this, so people can understand what God had to say about it, in verse 1 of chapter 23 of Leviticus. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." Holy convocations. This is a holy day. It's not just any day. This is a holy day that we appear before God our Father and Jesus Christ at His right hand. Feasts of the Lord. Not somebody else's feasts. Not the feast of the state or the country. The feasts of God. Important to us. Which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts, God says. My feasts. 6 days shall work be done, it goes on to say, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation. So even the regular Sabbaths throughout the year are holy convocations. Coming before God. Convening before God. And, of course, I started to say that's the 52 Sabbaths a year. But how many are in a year when you have 13 months? So we got more Sabbaths to keep, don't we? So it's really amazing what we have, what we look at in God's Word to understand what He has to say, and we have to put it all together. Then He goes through and gives all of the holy days. And then in verse 27, it says, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. A day for atoning. A day for atoning. And we say, oh, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Now, wait a minute. In the Old Testament, yes, as I already read to you, that Aaron was the high priest. He was the one, you see, that was there. Moses was the director of all of it before God and was able to go in also into the Holy of Holies. And so, therefore, the high priests can be in the Holy of Holies. What does that say for us in the future? Because I just read to you there in Revelation 1:6. They were going to be kings and priests. And we're coming with Christ as kings and priests. So the priest part is where we're going to be involved with Jesus Christ in administering that. Now, He's the high priest, but He will give direction to all of the other priests to help him in accomplishing all of that. So that's very important to understand for this day. It's a day for atoning. It shall be a holy convocation, and you shall afflict your soul. So we're fasting. We're fasting as a result of that, being that kind of a day and that kind of a holy day. We fast for that. And it's kind of interesting that
If you want to do what Jesus asked us all to do anyway, the scripture says that we are to fast, doesn't it? This kind can only come out except through fasting. So we can't even properly keep the Day of Atonement. You know, there are some people who say, I can't keep the Day of Atonement because I do have to eat. Okay, now you have a decision to make, don't you? Who do you please? Those who tell you those things? Or the one who says, I will take care of you, which is our Father, and Jesus Christ at his right hand? There really should be no reason why we couldn't keep God's feast days. And that includes, by the way, too, the Passover and taking of wine. I have heard for the last 50 years at least 100 excuses of why you can't drink wine for the Passover, and so therefore, can't you allow us to drink white grape juice or something like that? Don't people see the sincerity and the holiness of that day? We have to get back to seeing just who God is and who Christ is. They're the most holy. They're the ones who are holy. And we are striving to become like them, be part of the team. So that's what we've got to work on, and it's going to take a lot of work between now and the time that all of us are taken from this earth to be able to accomplish that. I ask myself every day, what can I do to be ready for the responsibility that Christ and God our Father wants us to do? And I keep telling myself, I've got to look at the holy days, first of all, because that pictures what he's doing. And the Sabbath also is what helps us to cling to him and to be in his presence. You would think the importance of everyone's life as far as keeping the Sabbath day would be to be in the presence of God. Isn't that something to say that we have the opportunity to be in the presence of God? Because God is here. That's what he promises. And Jesus Christ is here in spirit. That's what they promise. So they're hearing what I'm saying. And that's why we who get up here to speak have to make sure that what we say comes directly from them through their word. It might have a little bit of what we have to say with it to kind of help along in understanding in our physical world today. But we try to get across what God wants you to hear. And atonement is very important. It's very important and one of the high holy days for us to recognize what our future part is. Let's go back to Revelation, the 19th chapter, which a lot of people have tried to do away with the understandings of that. And I'm going to start with something here that may, I don't know how you would take it in one sense, but I'm just going to read it from the Old King James and let it ride there, and you can make up your own mind of what it says. And that's in verse 1. Verse 1. After these things, and of course, it's talking about a lot of things that happened through the book of Revelation. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation, and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And you know, Jesus even said to Peter, whenever Jesus was ready to leave, he says, don't worry about it. He says, you will be where I am. Where I am, you will be. That's back in John 14, verse 2. And so a little later on in this same chapter, very important for us to see and to understand. And I'm leading up to something here too as well. And verse 5, a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And we're reigning right along with him. That's what's important. We're reigning right along with Him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife has made herself ready. And I think most of us know Matthew 25, which talks about the 10 virgins. And where half of them were reading and studying their Bibles. The other half weren't. They were doing their thing here and there and yonder. And they were brought into the wedding supper, into the marriage, and the door was closed. That's what it says. The door was closed. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Those are the true sayings of God. Now, skipping ahead, it talks about verse 11. It says, I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful, true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war, which we've always used for the Feast of Trumpets, because that was the time that the Feast of Trumpets actually pictures the making of war and taking over this whole earth to bring in the goodness of God to this earth. And his eyes as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God, which John 1:1 talks about. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And as was said before in the sermon, that's what it says back in verse 8 on who the saints were. The saints coming with Christ. And out of his mouth with a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, he shall rule them, along with the saints, with a rod of iron, and treads the winepress in the fierce of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So in other words, we are part of it, and we are coming together to accomplish at the time of the end. In this day, pictures a part of that as well. That is atoning and being involved with helping people to understand the truth and covering for them through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I think we have to understand that that's very important for us to see and to understand too as well. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter now. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10, because Hebrews, the 10th chapter, actually helps us to understand the difference between the two points of understanding of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Okay, Hebrews. We have to understand and recognize that that's what we're supposed to do and supposed to think too as well. To understand what God is doing, and the only way we're going to be able to do it right is to read His words. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and beginning in verse 1. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and beginning in verse 1. If I can find the 10th chapter. The law. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But under the old covenant, those sacrifices were used, as we just got through reading back in Leviticus, to atone, for atoning. And helping to clean up Israel from all of their sins and casting them outside and away from the house of Israel. That's what it was supposed to be done at that time. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. And that's what sometimes people take on today is they say, why do I need to do all those things again? I already know that my sins were forgiven, so I don't need to think about that anymore. Aren't we appreciative of it? Are we appreciative of the one who atoned us? Jesus Christ. Are we appreciative of that, and do we come to acknowledge through fasting to honor and to glorify our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ at His right hand? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance. There is a remembrance. And we're at the human level, and we need something to stir up our remembrance. To remember what God has said to us when the time comes, because every time we come across something, to do something or whatever, do we remember what God's Word says about what we should be doing with what we're doing? Because that's what a priest would do. That's what a priest, one who is going to become a priest in the family of God, would do. We want to know what God says and does and His judgments and the way He says things. That's why Abraham's a gift to all of us, down through the line genealogically, was great, because he kept God's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, and he knew them. He knew them, and he knew how to apply them. And we did too for a while, until we got carnal. And then all of a sudden you start drifting away from it all and start saying that things have been changed, like Jeroboam did, and changed the Sabbath to Sunday, and changed all the holy days to the 8th month. Or some other month. Actually, today it floats around. I was really surprised to see. And I should have known that it would float around, because most of them don't understand the year of the 13 months. And anytime you have the 13 months, you're going to find that the next Passover, the next year, is going to be late. It's going to be late. And so people say, you're off a month. So you try to shift back. Why do they? Don't they understand God's Word? Don't they look at God's Word and see God's Word? So it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he said to the world, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body have you prepared me. So in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you've had no pleasure. That was just a physical thing that he set to do. That wasn't what he had pleasure in. But it was for a purpose. And lo, I come in the volume of the book, written of me to do your will, O God. That's what we should be learning this day, to do your will, O God. And above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you would not, neither did pleasure in, which are offered by the law. The law? The law of God. God put that in the law under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, he had other laws. Some of those laws of the old covenant still apply today too, though, like the keeping of the Sabbath. That applies today. The keeping of the holy days, that applies today. So you have to understand the difference between the physical and the spiritual. We are a spiritual church. They were a physical church. The church that came through the wilderness, came through the Red Sea, called the church in the wilderness. Yes, they received the spiritual laws of God, but boy, did they have a hard time keeping them. I mean, they just rebel here and there and yonder all over the place. And when we cease to use the Spirit of God in us, we also rebel. It takes the Spirit of God to see and to understand and to go through. So I don't know how many of you do, but I know we've tried to make an example of this through the years in our personal lives, is to pray and ask God to grant us more of His Holy Spirit. More of your Holy Spirit, so that we can do more for you, so we can accomplish more for you. So therefore, strength there, even number one, good is dead, many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. And of course, that's got to be our attitude today as well. And skipping ahead, by faith, Abraham, verse 17, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Wow. To me, that has to have a spiritual concept, because to offer up your own son had to be a spiritual concept, because it was the Father in heaven who did the same thing. That's chapter 11, verse 17. His father was willing to give him up for the sake of what they were accomplishing doing, and for you and I to be part of the family as future kings and priests to perform what this day actually pictures. It pictures atoning. And we know that the feast coming up, we're going to be attending for 7 days, and then the last great day, when it says after the Feast of Tabernacles is over, then the rest of the dead is going to come forth too as well. And we used to hear the story over and over again about the dry bones, the bones say to the dry bones, etc., which you're going to hear on the eighth day. And that, of course, not only applies to the house of Israel, it also applies to the others, of course, who have never had their opportunity for salvation. You can't say this is for all people who have opportunity for salvation unless they're resurrected, because some of them didn't have, you know, back at that time. So it's not only the house of Israel, it's all the rest of mankind too as well, to get their opportunity and chance to be atoned and to learn God's way, because that's what we're going to be saying and that's what we're going to be doing at that time. And this chapter is very important, and going on to chapter 12 also as well, I won't read again what I said in chapter 9, I believe it was stated there by the powers that be, that that ceased and Christ came to increase the other. In other words, the new covenant, the new testament, what we do spiritually now is what Jesus changed from the old covenants from now. It didn't mean some of those laws weren't real and good and for us in those days. In fact, even to this day, we still, in America, and I've heard this just recently, we actually go to court, and there are some lawyers who know the Bible. There are some lawyers who don't know the Bible, I think. But they would quote and say, well, you're doing this and you're doing that, and you're saying this person is doing this and doing that. And don't you know the scripture says that they've repented of doing that they should be forgiven? And also the scripture says there's certain penalties for that too. So we will actually accrue, if I can use that word, penalties on people who sin lightly, but we never will put on them the penalty that says the wages of sin is death. Meaning, you see, that whenever people sin back in those days of killing someone, they were killed too. We don't do that today. We keep them alive forever. Which is a wrong principle. It's a wrong principle, even God's word. That's not going to happen in the future. Once the family with Jesus Christ takes over the earth and runs everything, you're going to see a different system altogether. But the real laws of the Bible will still be there. They'll still be there. And I don't know totally under the government of the new kingdom of God about the holy days and the Sabbath, but if God says they'll be kept, they will be. And that's what we've got to see in His Word. Again, you've got to understand what's in His Word. Because the most important thing of all is to obey God. To serve God, to honor Him, no matter what we think personally. You read the Word, and if the Word says to do it, you do it, and until you can come to believe through conversion that is true, what we're doing. And it is an honor to God, and God is well pleased with what He's heard here for many years now, and even other places too around this world, about His Word, you know, going forth. But the point I wanted to bring out here was the fact, and this is where most people don't think of, and that's in chapter 12, and verse 19 says, "The sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should be not spoken to any of them anymore, for they would not endure that which was commanded." It's really, really interesting to see the concept there. "And if so much as the blast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." And one of the things that I saw in the nature of one who had God working with him, such as Moses and Aaron, the others, is they feared. They feared God in the right way. They had this awesome fear of God. But he says here, but you are come, and this is important for us to see and understand, unto Mount Zion. Unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So many times we can't equate biblically which it's referring to when it talks about Jerusalem and in Mount Zion and so on. And that's why you find several religions and so on changing things around to their way. And I mentioned this, by the way, over in Jerusalem when we had the opportunity to be over there, and I spoke there in the King David Hotel. And I mentioned, I said to all the ones who were there, I said, don't you think all of you have it wrong? You're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he said, you need to realize that Mount Zion is located in Utah. That's what it says on the map even. Mount Zion, Utah. Don't you think that's where we're supposed to go? And of course, I cleared it up at that particular point, saying people read the Bible, but they don't realize that people in this world system have used the Bible as well. And that's how many people are conned into following them, because they use the biblical things. They be, well, I see it right here in the Bible, but I don't see the word Utah here. So talks about Jerusalem, doesn't it? You're come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And I'm reading that because of the fact that when we come to Jesus Christ as priests and kings to this earth, we will have had the kind of training that was necessary for us to fulfill those two offices of being a king and a priest. But we should know most of it now, at least at the physical level, because of God's holy word, the Bible. So then we could, in the future, see what we are going to do. And to Jesus, who is the mediator of the old covenant, the new covenant. The new covenant, remember I said before about that. And the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So see that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. At the throne of God. Heaven is my throne. Isn't that what one of the scriptures says? From heaven. And whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. He's going to shake heaven too. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, or can be shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And as we keep this Feast of Atonement, looking forward to working with Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven as kings and as priests for them to accomplish their work, can we at any time in this life be shaken?